What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, we got a gigantic Thursday show lined up for you. But first, let's talk about our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. This podcast is almost exclusively powered by our Patreon subscribers. I'm so grateful for them. So if you love this podcast, you can help keep it online by signing up for just $5 per month at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. You're going to get access to the Shatter Docket podcast twice per week, every Tuesday and Thursday. You're also going to get to download the Patreon app. You're going to be able to comment under all the episodes. And you can even participate in the brand new chat room on the Patreon app. Plus, there's going to be a new desktop version of the Patreon chat room coming up any day now. So you get all of that stuff. Plus, you're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast as we guide you through the chaos of our politics. So get going. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Oh, yes. I hate this. It is revolting.
More?
Please.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, January 18, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1093 of the Biden-Harris administration, 292 days into the 24 presidential election. You find me on Threads and Instagram, The Bob Seska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. And those two people right there, it's the Goth Ninjas, yeah. It is Jody Hamilton, the executive producer of the Stephanie Miller Show. Patreon.com/Stephanie Miller Show. Also, David Ferguson. We call him T-Rex. His music project is Astral Summer. AstralSummer.bandcamp.com. That's one of the places. Also, Patreon.com/Astral Summer. Yes. Hi, Goth Ninjas.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey.
Before we get into anything else today, we have to wish a very happy birthday to the great Jody Hamilton. Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy, happy birthday, Jody. Happy
Thank
birthday.
Thank you.
There we go. Love it.
Jody on the show. That's what we're waiting for.
We are. Every week.
I'm going to talk with Seska.
Me.
And T-Rex some more.
That's him.
That's him.
Yeah.
Nothing really grows with Jody on the show. With Seska.
And T-Rex.
Yeah, I want a jingle. How come I...
Yeah, you know what? You had a jingle. I made a jingle for you, but I don't think you have a Rocky Mountain Mike jingle. I'm waiting on the Tiny Trump jingle from Rocky Mountain Mike. I don't know if he's going to make it for me or not, but dare to dream.
Love taking requests. I knew that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
It's his favorite.
You're, I think, entirely
31.
Yeah, 31. 31 years old. Congratulations.
No, I'm 57 fucking years old.
All right.
Right on.
And you're exhausted because you were up at 1 o'clock this morning.
I got up at 1 o'clock this morning, so I've been up for 9 hours and some change already.
Why the
hell? You could personally strew rose petals in Lawrence O'Donnell's path before you come on Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, that was triumphant today. How about that?
It was nice.
Your birthday get.
Yeah, it was a last-minute booking because Dr. Redliner had to postpone till next week. So it was like yesterday, I'm on my walk before going back to work, and Dr. Redliner called me, and he goes, I can't make it tomorrow. And I was like, okay. So I'm like, who can I think of? And I went, I'll try Lawrence O'Donnell.
Lawrence, which is an outstanding substitute for anything. You know?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing he was runner-up for anything, but...
Well, I was just thinking, like, who can I... And we haven't had him on... She hasn't had him on her show in a long time, and she just gave me his email address before we went off on vacation, so I was like, let's try, and he got back to me within an hour or so, and, I mean, his assistant was fantastic to work with, so we're hoping that we'll, you know, get him on again.
Are you doing anything fun for your birthday?
I'm going to go to bed around 4.
That's right, going to bed early, sure.
I have work to do still, so there's that. No plans. You know, it's a work day.
Well, I'm so grateful to have you as a friend. You are the absolute best. And
That's very sweet. Thank you. I love you guys too.
We love you so much. Yes, yes.
Okay, cat. My cat is trying to eat the exact cord that I need in order for you guys to hear me.
Might be a problem. By the way, we were also relieved to find out you weren't eaten by wolves outside of the stately Miller mansion.
No, when I got there, these two coyotes were just lying down across, literally right where I park.
Waiting for
across
you.
Across the street. Wait, yeah, kind of. And so I looked, I pulled up and I see them and they just kind of looked at my car like, yeah, what? And... Yeah.
That's what coyotes, man.
They are, you know. And so I rolled down my window about 4 inches, and I said, hi, you guys, what are you doing? It's time to go now. I got to get out and go to work. And the one that was closest to me just kind of looked at me and then looked away. And then the other one, she got up and walked a little ways down and then plopped again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided to get up and follow her, and but they were not far enough. And finally she got up and they started just sauntering slowly down her street, and I waited another 5 minutes because they're stealth. So I was like, I got to work at like 4:15, and I didn't get into the building until like 4:25.
So you're stuck out there. You know what you should have done? Rolled down your window and gone like this. And then they would have torn off.
God bless him.
God, I found where a park ranger had like actually like rescued an injured coyote and took it home. And he also had a blue Honda. I had a blue Honda at that point. And so I posted on Facebook. I was like, does anybody recognize this dog I found out on the loop? It was chewing on a deer carcass. No collar, kind of snippy.
I
lured him into the car with a can of cat food, and now I've got him locked in the bathroom at home.
That reminds me.
I had a picture of it in the car, like of the park ranger's car. It looked just like my car. Everybody was like, David!
There was an eyeglasses commercial that was running, I think, across the United States for a period of time a few years ago.
Oh, with a raccoon?
Yeah, where that woman thought she was inviting her cat into the bed, and it was a raccoon, which I thought was hysterical. Anyway, so yes, once again, happy birthday, Jody, on the show, and we're glad you weren't eaten by wolves this week. So
me too.
Yes.
Wolves are very nice, by the way. I've met wolves. They are not, they don't attack humans. They're very, very kind animals.
Yeah. Although, given the prevalence of wolves around the stately Miller Manor, maybe we should record, like, do one of those Tom Brokaw pre-recorded death announcements. Jody Hamilton dead today at the senseless age of 57. She was eaten by wolves. She was delicious. Anyway, so getting into things here, Donald Trump is intentionally disrupting his various trials, making things worse for himself. And that's the outside, rational, realistic point of view. He believes he's making things better for himself by presenting himself, by framing himself as a victim. Like, why do they keep telling me to shut up? Why do they keep telling me to stop disrupting the court? I mean, this has been going on in two separate venues, in fact, both the E. Jean Carroll case as well as now the Judge Engoron case. And so
that's what I was wondering about. It's like, how is he finding the fucking time to run for president and be a nuisance in two different courtrooms in two different cities?
Yeah. By choice.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the thing.
I guess they're both in New York. I was thinking D.C. for some reason.
He doesn't want his fanboys to look at the evidence being presented in this case, especially with E. Jean Carroll, where the evidence is so fucking horrendous. The way he sexually assaulted E. Jean Carroll, he doesn't want his people to know about that. First of all, because his people are off on their own jihad accusing trans people of being sexual predators, when in fact that's not happening at all, as we've established on this show. But it's his behavior that's sexually predatory. What he wants is, he wants his fanboys to focus on his very, very poor treatment or the vicious way he's being treated by the deep state, how they're coming after him and they're trying to silence him. That's how...
It's basically a judge trying to keep order in their own fucking courtroom by saying, sir, please be quiet.
Yes, you absolutely. Know?
Exactly.
So it's all at once that, plus he's attempting to tamper with the jury. He's trying to intimidate them by making these scowly faces. We've seen the pictures of him in the courtroom with that intentionally scowly buzzard face of his. And so he's doing that to send a signal to the jurors or courtroom officials, to the judge, to prosecutors, et cetera, to say, hey, look, you better watch it because you're doing this to me. I'm going to get my retribution. So he's trying to intimidate them into going lighter on him or backing away or at the very least to send the signal to his fanboys that he's the tough alpha Donald Trump and he will not be silenced. He will not be prosecuted unfairly like this. And so that plays well with his people. It keeps them away from the actual evidence of the case. Certainly Fox News and the Red Hat Entertainment Complex aren't covering the details of these cases because if they were, Donald Trump's support wouldn't be where it is right now. Donald Trump would be running like distant third. All things being normal, Donald Trump would be a non-entity in this year's election. Agree. Because his fanboys would understand what's going on, the awfulness that he did, the fraud that he is. And that's, the word that gets lost in discussing the Judge Engoron case, is that Donald Trump's whole thing is being a successful businessman. When in fact, what we're learning from Letitia James's lawsuit is that that's all bullshit.
Bullshit.
That's all stuff that he's made up because he's cooked the books. It's like saying on your Tinder profile or something like that, yeah, I've got a 10-inch dick. But no, he does not. He's been working at this with Alan Weisselberg and Don Jr. and Eric Trump and Ivanka for years and years and years to make the Trump Organization seem like it's far more important than it actually is, that it's far more successful than it really is. When in fact, all they've got is Donald Trump's brand, his name, his horrendous visage. That's all we're talking about here. We're going to talk about his horrendous visage in just a second. So Alina Haba is absolutely clueless.
Bless you.
Thank you very much.
What is going on with her cheeks? Oh, my God.
Well,
she knows she'd rather be pretty than smart because she can fake being smart.
Well, the fact is that she is entirely incompetent. She is the bottom of the barrel at this point for Donald Trump's legal defense, because he's running out of lawyers. Taco Pina's law firm has quit representing Donald Trump in a couple of different venues. The crazy thing about Donald Trump's lawyers bailing on him is the fact that there are going to be more lawyers who are going to line up and step right into that propeller again. Just like all the previous lawyers, not get paid. Mm-hmm. They're going to be told what to do by Donald Trump beyond what they're allowed to do, right? He's going to puppeteer these attorneys, whoever works for him. He puppeteers them. So he's at a place right now where he's just desperate for anyone to represent him. And that's the weakness of Donald Trump that doesn't seem to permeate the Red Hat base. And the reason it doesn't is because he's so busy flailing in the courtroom and making an ass of himself and doing the accordion hands outside the courtroom and making sure that the emphasis is on his behavior and not what's being presented, as we've been saying. So yesterday was, as we've been saying, just insane in terms of Donald Trump's behavior, where at one point the judge had to say, Mr. Trump has the right to be present here, but that right can be forfeited and can be forfeited if he is disruptive and if he disregards court orders. Mr. Trump, I hope I don't have to consider excluding you from the trial. I understand you are very eager for me to do that. I know you would because you just can't control yourself in this circumstance. And then Trump reportedly then threw his hands up in the air, his tiny hands, and said, I would love it. Of course he would love it. And Judge Kaplan replied, I know you would. You just can't control yourself in this circumstance, apparently. And so what Donald Trump wants is he...
I mean, like 14-year-old juvenile defendants are better at handling themselves in the courtroom than him.
It
blows me away that any other person in this country sitting in a courtroom would not be allowed to carry on this way.
Well, and of course it's intentional.
Right.
It's strategic. What he wants to do is he wants to get kicked out of the courtroom and then frame it as though they banned him from the courtroom. Instead of talking about the way he raped E. Jean Carroll, his fanboys are going to be talking about how Judge Kaplan kicked him out of the courtroom. So that's why Judge Kaplan didn't kick him out of the courtroom, which I think was smart.
Well, and the thing is he keeps complaining about the whole, I can't go to the funeral. That's bullshit. He's going. He already said so on True Social that he's going to go to the funeral.
Yeah.
And secondly, he doesn't have to be at that trial. It's a civil trial. It's not a criminal trial. He does not have to be there. It's a choice for him to fucking be there.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And the antics continue today. So this is coming to us from Mediaite. The headline says, did you not hear me? Judge clashes with Trump lawyer Alina Haba right out of the gate during E. Jean Carroll testimony. So
she doesn't appreciate being spoken to that way.
The third day of the trial in the defamation case brought by Carroll surrounding Trump's alleged sexual assault of her in a department store back in the 1990s started off with a tense back and forth between Haba and the judge. So Haba asks, and you've been on left-leaning platforms, and Carroll's
lawyer... Like that matters?
Yeah, right. So I guess she's talking to E. Jean Carroll. So Haba asks E. Jean Carroll, and you've been on left-leaning platforms. Carroll's lawyer responds, objection. Kaplan says, sustained. And then Haba says, they are left-leaning. And then Judge Kaplan has to say, hey, did you not hear me? I just said sustained to the objection. You're not supposed to continue asking the same question that...
Exactly.
That was objected to and then sustained.
She'd be out of her depth litigating a parking ticket or an overdue book fine. I mean, like, I don't know why she... I mean, well, no, she's here because Trump wants to fuck her.
Ew, David.
Ew.
Yeah, I know.
Ew.
Ew.
I mean, ew.
But well, I mean, my thing with Haba is how do
Bless you...
Yeah, I know. How do you sleep at night? I mean, she ostensibly has to deal with judges and courtrooms for the rest of her career. And
she wasn't a trial attorney up until now, so there's that.
Okay, and then she may not be a trial attorney after this?
She may not have a license after this, for
That's
all we know.
Probably
but
true.
All these people are angling for Fox shows or Newsmax shows. They all want to be podcasters and stand-up comedians like Ted Cruz. None of them want to actually be doing what they're doing.
Right. I think the whole thing now is merit based on, I don't know, clout, like news media clout or social media clout. That's all she cares about.
It's weird because it's like if she is, God forbid, fucking him, he's going to lose his money and he's going to jail.
Right.
And he's already married and the lady that he's married to, trust me, is going to take him for everything that's left.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. Here's the other thing I wanted to add about this. This is not going to fly in a criminal courtroom.
No.
When he's on trial in Georgia, when he's on trial in Washington, D.C., and even when he's on trial in Florida, those proceedings are quite different than civil fraud cases or lawsuits.
Right.
His leash is going to be much shorter. And I'll be interested to see if he tries the same shenanigans in front of, a criminal court. I don't know. I think he may try, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the way he's going to be treated is going to be a little bit more harsh, which I guess, again, that's what he's looking for. He's looking to be treated harshly. And the thing is, though, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not like, and I think he perceives this as being just kind of a one-to-one black or white thing where, yeah, he's seeking to frame his treatment with his fanboys for electoral purposes or power, whatever, keeping the base intact. I don't think it occurs to him that it puts him in greater and greater legal jeopardy where he could end up losing everything.
He's going to.
Yeah. I mean, with Judge Engoron, we're talking about upward of $370 million.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to your fundraisers and ask them for $370 million.
No.
You're just not going to get it. And I guess
he's gotten at least that much already. You got $250 million after the insurrection.
Yeah, but that's been spent.
Oh, yeah, that's all been spent. I mean, he only picked up, what was the number? Something like $38 million in quarter three of last year?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Biden's got $117 million in his coffers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Biden is far out fundraising Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And that's a significant metric as far as I'm concerned in terms of predicting what's going to happen in this election. We'll talk about that more later. But yeah, so I don't know where Donald Trump gets that money, and he's going to have to pay it, or else he's going to be found in contempt for not paying it. And then that doesn't even take into consideration the criminal cases on top of all of that.
Well, I mean, the thing is it, with the civil lawsuit in New York, it's going to go through appeals before he has to pay one thin dime.
Yeah.
But he's still going to have to pay for lawyers for those said appeals. And the thing with E. Jean Carroll that Allison Gill pointed out on one of her Daily Beans, I think it was, podcast, she pointed out that the expert that testified on behalf of Shamos and Ruby Freeman is going to testify with this E. Jean Carroll case. Because of how the reach was for him as a president to defame her versus the first trial where it was him not being president anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he tried to stop this woman from testifying. Look at just the vast difference between the reach that Giuliani would have versus a reach that the sitting president would have.
Oh, God, yes.
And so, and we all thought that Giuliani might be liable for, you know, $30-40 million, and it's what, $148 million or some shit. So there is a very strong possibility that once this woman testifies on behalf of E. Jean Carroll, that her $10 million plus whatever damages she wants is going to be a lot higher than anybody thinks.
Yeah, I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Me too.
I want
New York jury.
I hope she buys herself a fucking castle in France. You know,
yeah,
buys herself a line of young men to just kind of like run the, you know, like give her massages and fan her, and you know, just she deserves to live like a queen because she has like fucking carried the torch and fought and hung in there when people are screaming about murdering her and, you know, the horrible, horrible things that must pour through her inbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking about Alex Jones and the Sandy Hook families and how much money he's on the hook for with them.
Yep.
It's what was the number? $1.5 billion?
$1 billion, yeah.
That's like some country's entire GDP, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
When are we going to get some movement on that? Is he going to be able to? I mean, I just feel like they're delaying and delaying and delaying. And he's like, I'm bankrupt. And like,
Well, rich people are going to try whatever levers they can pull to try to wiggle out of accountability like this. And it's ultimately not going to work. If Alex Jones keeps dragging his feet, he's going to end up serving time for not paying, or whatever they do to scofflaws, whatever they do to people who just decide not to pay their penalties. I guess that depends on Texas law, which I'm not up to speed with, but we can...
Wait, I thought you were a lawyer in Texas. What do you mean?
I thought you were a lawyer in Texas.
Bob and I are actually married in Texas, but that's a different
story. There you go.
We're doing that Spider-Man meme where we're all pointing at each other, all three of us. Yeah, yeah. So let's see what else here. Yeah, so the chaos is happening again today in court, and I'm sure there'll be something explosive that will occur as soon as we finish recording today's show. So let's talk about Donald Trump's appearance right now. And
it's bad.
Yeah, he's not looking good. There's a couple of pictures floating around right now of Donald Trump looking like warmed over dog shit. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a piece that was so horrendous. There was a debate going on Twitter about whether or not it was actually real. And I went and found the source of it. It was a Vox article. The I want to find the photographer's name here because it was appropriate to the actual photo itself. But this Vox photo is just unbelievably horrendous. Okay, yeah, the photographer is named Tannen Murray. His first name, Tannen, and it's Donald Trump's
Tannen
fake tan, that face makeup that he wears, just looking like a baby had diarrhea all over his face. Like he was kissing, like he lifted up baby and the baby just went right into his face. Sorry. Sorry for that image. I know some people eat dinner.
Without the makeup, he already looks like he's made of ground up tumors.
Yeah.
Right. But like, I mean, he just, that particular picture, do you think they've got him on Ozempic or something? Has he lost some weight? Because it's like his face looks even baggier.
Yeah, you know? I think, like, he has lost a little bit of weight. We've talked about this before. I thought initially it was because he was sick, but it's probably Ozempic. I would imagine it's something like that.
This, I was trying to think. He looks like something has happened.
Yeah.
Like he got microwaved, or, I mean, he's like bacon after it's cooked, right?
There's that great shot of Kramer when Newman imagines him as a turkey. Yeah, where it's like a Thanksgiving turkey, but with Kramer's head on it. And he waves to Newman. It's exactly what Trump's face looks like. He looks like Kramer in that scene, or like the tan mom or something like that. Who is that that woman in There's Something About Mary?
Something About Mary, yes. Because I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
The dog.
And again, we're not breaking any news with Donald Trump's foppish face makeup that just looks like shit.
He just makes terrible aesthetic decisions.
Well, yeah.
You know,
it's all part of his fraud. It's all part of his trying to disguise what he really is.
It's amazing to me just how bad he can make a plain white dress shirt look. I remember when he went to, because he just wears them once and throws them away, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
You know, like, God.
Well, there's actually another dimension to this. There was another photo going around of Donald Trump waving, and we get to see the palm of his tiny hand with his stubby fingers.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that after we take a short break, because that's the thing that, even more so than this horrendous face makeup picture, that's what's driving a lot of speculation all over social media about what the hell is going on with his hands.
Melting!
Yeah. And that could be it. There are many, many theories. There are myriad theories. Some are more realistic than others, but we'll talk about some of those theories coming up here in just a second. Plus, Larry Kudlow says the climate crisis is a hoax because it's cold outside. That old
yard. Oh my God, will they just fucking shut up about that? That's weather.
How can they sleep at night? That's my big question for that. In the meantime, there's an outlier poll out of New Hampshire that we have to talk about as well. Plus,
my favorite.
Yes, I know you love talking about those things. But also, Donald Trump tried to talk about gold, one of his favorite things in the world, like he made an entire penthouse out of gold. He doesn't seem to understand that gold doesn't come in liquid form, that it's naturally in a solid state. We're going to talk about that, too, on the show coming up here.
You think it's paint?
I don't know. Maybe that could be it.
Cans of gold. Let me get 40 gallons of gold.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Huh? Or,
I don't know what the hell he's talking about. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's weird hang-up about gold here in a second. So strange. A whole lot more still to come here on today's podcast, back after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska! All-time favorites on
song.
I knew you would. In honor of your birthday, we're going to play a performance by Jody Hamilton singing with Gilt Lily. The multi-talented Jody Hamilton, yeah. So awesome. Love this song. Yeah.
This is what I want for my birthday. You got 6 months. It's May 30th, Jody.
Yep.
For my birthday, I want you to record that song, the Skeeter Davis song, Don't They Know It's the End of the World. It ended when you said. I feel like with your voice, it would just... Ah, yes! And then I'll hang myself.
Don't do that!
Yeah, please.
No, I won't.
Because we're kind of screwed, right? Is that sort of the message?
It's one of my favorite songs. It's gorgeous. And I want to hear Jody sing it because I feel like I can already hear the beehive and the chiffon dress.
I have a beehive wig. Should I wear that and do a video for you?
Just channel it in the voice.
Yes. Jody, you need to do more work. Can you squeeze in an entire project here in the meantime? Music video, song, production. You know, you can just knock that off in a couple hours, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of singing, you brought us some breaking news during the commercial break because your mom appeared at the Emmys as a presenter and was fucking hysterical, made me laugh out loud about...
It's nice to see men, you know, being honored finally in comedy.
That was it. I love that.
Men aren't really funny, though, so...
No, they need to smile more.
That's right. I can't imagine what your mom has gone through in the course of her career, given the just rank misogyny for most of that career that she's probably had to encounter.
Well, I mean, when she first got the show, what happened was she had an open contract for like a year and a half or two years, I think, at CBS after she left Gary Moore's show.
Yeah.
And it was December of 66. She was 14,000 months pregnant with me. And... she turned to my dad and she said, because the contract was going to be up soon. And she said, I want to, because they were offering her sitcoms and, you know, you're the wacky neighbor and blah, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And she turned to my dad. And she said, I want a variety show. And dad said, a woman has never hosted a variety show. She goes, so? And so they went to Mr. Paley and the contract was so ironclad that they couldn't turn that down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so she was on the calendar literally for 13 weeks, and then the 14th week was a question mark in her time slot.
Oh my God! Well, I'm glad she did it because
I've kind of gotten the sense though that she's been sort of unstoppable from the go, and that may just be like my own like wishful thinking, but like kind of a bulldozer in a way, just like I'm going to do this, and I'm so dazzlingly funny, and so smart, and so stubborn. And maybe that's a redhead thing, but, you know.
It's a Taurus thing, and she's not a redhead.
I know. I remember watching the show when I was a kid, and this little redheaded boy asked her, and he was like, you make me feel good to be a redhead. And she's like, I get it from a bottle.
This kid raises his hand and goes, were you ever made fun of as a kid with your red hair? And she goes, no, I didn't have red hair.
That kid grew up to be David Ferguson and destroyed.
Carrot Top. He grew up to be Carrot Top is what it is.
Poor David. Anyway, so your mom had an encounter with the great Hannah Waddingham backstage. And by the way, this picture that you just sent us, you just texted this picture. I haven't seen this one. I saw another picture where Hannah Waddingham's back is turned to us and she's talking to your mom and, of course, towering over your mom because, as we established during the commercial break, Hannah Waddingham is 15 feet tall. So,
she's very tall.
Yeah. So they had to...
God, she can sing. Oh, my gosh,
yes, she can
sing.
She's such
really,
a great singer.
Really yeah, she sing. Is
very, very
yeah,
talented.
She's amazing.
Yeah. And so what did Hannah Waddingham say to your mom?
She beelined it over there because my mom's a huge fan of hers.
Wow.
And and she said, no, I ran it. She came right up to me and she said, the only reason I got into acting is because of you. Now, she's English. So she had to have been in the States to have seen my mom at most of the points, but But yeah, she's like, I became an actor, and she's like, do you still sing? And my mom said, well, no, not really. She goes, will you be on my, did you see my special? Mom's like, yeah, I saw your special. It was amazing. She goes, would you be on my next year's Christmas special?
Oh,
so mom's considering it. You know, it's a possibility. Wow. Wouldn't that be great? I said, I saw.
Look, yeah, if your mom won't do it, I will. So just.
Okay, there you go. I'll just do it. I'll pretend to be my mother. No, when I saw her special, I emailed my mom. I said, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but if you still had your show, I know she would be a guest.
Oh, God, yeah. So
and she would have
so
been
cool.
A guest that she would have gone to over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. There are certain people out there who have never been on your mom's show, but I feel like they're just like a natural. Of course, now I can't think of any of them.
Taylor Swift, Queen Latifah, what's his face, who had his own show and his... Wayne Brady. I mean, I can go through
Chris
a whole
Pine.
List.
Chris Pine
would be
Frank
great.
Sinatra. Yes.
You know, and it's just there are so many people that if... Oh, you know, it's like... Yeah. But Hannah Waddingham would have been a go-to like Bernadette Peters was because she can act, she's funny, and she can sing.
Well, congratulations to your mom for appearing on the Emmys. She was hysterical, as always. No surprise there. Carol Burnett was funny for a change.
I know, that's so weird.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let's talk about Donald Trump, whether he has syphilis, because that's where my brain is right now. Yeah.
I just, every time I hear the word syphilis, I hear Tom Hanks as the sound guy going,
sibilance. Syphilis.
But it's like, syphilis. Syphilis.
It's so funny. That, you know what? I remember that, too. Every time I do a mic check, I always go, sibilance. Because of that one thing, it lasted for 2 seconds on a Wayne's World sketch 30 years ago.
Right.
And we still
ridiculous.
Remember that.
Why? Our poor brains. You know, I could be, like, holding, like, I don't know, how to do my taxes in there or something.
I know.
Instead, you know, it's like that and key lime pie recipes.
That's occupying space. The fact that I remember the name of the actor who played Boss Hogg on Dukes of Hazzard, Sorrel Book, by the way, that's occupying space
that's
in my
amazing.
Brain. Yes, that's taking neurons up in my brain right now that could be occupied with something more useful.
Well, that's like me.
My different strokes, Comrade Bain.
Yes. My geometry teacher, when I was in school, would have this the extra credit question had nothing to do with math.
Mm-hmm.
And I vividly remember this. Where is Radar O'Reilly from? And I'm like, Ottumwa, Iowa.
Yeah.
Duh.
I thought of that all evening Monday night watching the Iowa caucuses.
Just like, Ottumwa, Iowa, like where Radar is from.
Yeah. I mean, no, in fact. The
members
one...
of Duran Duran in order of height.
Yeah. Like, I mean... Who's that guy? He's kind of a handsome reporter, works for MSNBC.
Vaughn Hillier?
I think it was that guy. Yeah. Yeah. He was in Ottumwa, Iowa. Monday night.
Adam Mann. So did he see Gary Berghoff?
Would Radar O'Reilly be like full-blown QAnon now?
I don't think so.
No.
He went through the shit, man. I don't think so.
Maybe just a red hat, like a run-of-the-mill red hat.
I think Radar became a peace activist.
I do too.
Yeah,
like
that's possible.
The John Kerry route, yeah.
I don't know.
I do too.
We never really hear about politics from Radar. He could open his mouth about politics and just turn into a demon.
No, he would have been a peace activist. I'm with David. He would have been a total
Radar
beatnik hippie.
Empathy monster.
Yes, like, he was.
Felt everything.
Yeah. Okay.
So that to me says he'd probably be in, like, I don't know, public radio.
All right. Well, I'm going to be way more cynical on the Radar politics thing. So I just think, man, it's one of those occasions we've all had this run-in at one point or another. Maybe it's with a relative at Thanksgiving or something like that. Sweetest, kindest person in the world. And then suddenly you say the name Obama and their eyes turn red. They turn into like Sith Lords from Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Where was that transformation? I've never seen that side of you before. Oh, my God. Goodbye.
Well, no, a friend of mine, I was told, was a huge, giant Trumper, right? So every year for the past several years, I've been texting him on his birthday, right? And then I texted him last year, and I didn't hear from him. And then I randomly texted him, like, 3 weeks ago, and he started texting me back. I'm like, he may have broken the cult.
Well, okay, on that note, let's talk about Donald, as I said before, Donald Trump's syphilis, which I don't mind mentioning that.
Let's call it sniffilis. Sniffilis.
Sniffilis, that's awesome.
How about snigmata?
But I think sniffilis might be the name of today's show. But anyway, so yeah, there's this picture of Donald Trump, he's waving, and on his hand, there's like giant red sores. There's like one on the palm of his hand right near his index finger. Then there's another one on the tip of his index finger, like in that upper third of his index finger. And then there's another one on his thumb. So obviously, lots of people are trolling him all over social media, saying that these are sores symptomatic of syphilis, like end-stage syphilis. Yeah. And there's even like infographics being circulated where there's like a drawing of someone's hand with sores on it, illustrating that this is what happens if you get syphilis.
He walked into somebody's church and dipped his hand in the holy water. And it
Yeah, this is someone theorized.
There was a hissing sound. Yeah. There was steam. And yeah.
Right. And in fact, someone theorized that he grabbed a cross and it started to burn his hand.
Oh, that actually makes more sense. That makes the most sense to me. No, yeah. I mean, James Carville, I just hear him going, he got the clap.
Yeah, that's right. He got the clap. That was so funny. I mean, it could be what Hal said on Stephanie's show today. I think this is the most likely explanation, that Trump has been doing retail politics unlike he's ever had to do before. Because let's face facts here. The reality is that Donald Trump is a horrendously weak candidate for the Republican nomination.
Yes.
I mean, he's going to get the nomination, but he probably shouldn't because he's probably going to lose. Again, the dreaded polls suggest that some of the other candidates have a better shot at beating Joe Biden than Donald Trump does. Anyway, so I think on some level, Donald Trump is especially desperate, forcing him to do things that he wouldn't otherwise do, including going around and shaking a lot of hands. Now, there was a storyline in, I believe it was season 7 of The West Wing, where Alan Alda's character, Arnold Vinnick, was getting like hand injuries from shaking so many hands. And
but it's not a skin thing. Like, I've known people who've had that, who've had to shake so many hands that they ended up with, like, injuries to their tendons and bones and, like, bruising and stuff.
Yeah.
You don't get blisters from that. We're not, like,
right,
rubbing our hands together like we're trying to start a fire and we're shaking hands. You know?
I know. Well, that's a good point. It could be something where he got some sort of infection from, like, skin infection from shaking hands.
Ew.
I mean, there could be that explanation as well.
I think somebody mentioned that he's been gripping his golf clubs too tightly.
It might be that too. I mean, there's,
I'm thinking about like where the right hand goes, where it grips a golf club.
Yeah.
And it's like on the, like, you know, the heel of the thumb, like palm, you yeah. know, and then like the base of the index finger and the index finger.
Yeah, I mean, I've driven golf balls before. I've never played like a full, like actual game of golf.
I've only ever done miniature golf. So that's the extent miniature of my golf, knowledge.
Miniature golf, and driving ranges. That's the extent of my golf experience. But I've been driving golf balls, having not done anything else golf wise, and I don't get blisters on the tips of my fingers and thumbs. If there's going to be blisters anywhere, it's going to be on my hand. So I don't know. But I mean, Donald Trump has notoriously soft hands, like soft and delicate, like a raw canned ham or something like that.
You know, because he gets manicures.
But and he's never done a day of manual labor in his life.
Oh, hell no.
I don't know. It could be golfing.
Think he's ever washed a dish ever?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, God, no.
No, no.
Maybe in military school, but that's the only place he would have done that.
I think it's probably something to do with him handshaking a lot, but I'd like to believe...
No, I got to vigorously disagree with that, because okay. I don't see getting blisters.
Unless, of course, you shake hands with someone who's got some sort of skin disease.
Ugh.
Right.
Yeah. Like I think Hal was hypothesizing some form of warts. Like he maybe got infected with whatever causes warts. That I mean, this is super duper gross. So let's move on, because I got to talk about Larry Kudlow and the climate crisis. This is like the evergreen thing. This is like Lynyrd Skynyrd playing Freebird. It's like one of the greatest hits, where they say the climate crisis is a hoax because it's cold outside. Forgetting the fact that global warming, for example, that term encompasses, you know, the entire fucking globe. So where it's cold right now in the Northeast, for example, or it's cold in the Northern Hemisphere because of the polar vortex, which, by the way, has to do with the climate crisis. The reason the
wobbly jet stream, folks, come on, like get with the program. Like
right.
the river in the air called the jet stream. It flows around North America and it gives us temperate waters. And
it
dips because it gets wobbly because. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. Well, likewise, it's warm in the Southern Hemisphere right now because that hemisphere of the planet is more directly facing the sun, meaning that it's summertime down on that end of things. Anyway, so here's Larry Kudlow talking about how the climate crisis is a hoax because it's cold outside.
Iowans know it's going to be cold in January. Montanans know it's going to be cold in January. Pretty much everybody except John Kerry knows it's going to be cold in January.
Pretty much everybody except John Kerry knows it's going to be cold in January, Chuck Todd.
Is he always drunk? I mean, that sounded super drunk right there. I want to hear that again.
Pretty much everybody except John Kerry knows it's going to be cold in January.
No, it's going to be
and
cold.
We also know it's going to be hot in August.
Well, I know it's going to be hot in August. Suddenly he's Cajun.
Are you Jeff Sessions now, dude? Like, what the fuck? You got so drunk that you turned into Southern Trailer Trash. Okay, fine.
I got to hear that one more time.
And we also know it's going to be hot in August.
Hot in August. He's James Corville now, you know? Got the clap, yeah?
Donald Trump's got the clap. Oh, my
that
God.
That dog won't hunt.
This is killing me. I got to hear it again.
Iowans know it's going to be cold in January. Montanans know it's going to be cold in January. Pretty much everybody except John Kerry knows it's going to be cold in January.
Pretty much everybody except John Kerry.
Who brought John Kerry into this? That's 2004, which has literally been 20 years now. But
yeah. Oh, God. This
go
is
on,
Mr. hysterical. Holy
Lady,
shit.
And we also know it's going to be hot in August. And this global warming stuff and Green New Deal stuff and over a trillion dollars. I say it's
over a trillion dollars.
I don't understand how you can be extant in the world and, like, at all consuming information of any kind.
Yeah.
And at this point, not know that the weather is fucked.
I know. And he's talking about weather in, again, one part of the world, Montana and Iowa. I think he was talking about those two states.
Everybody in Ireland is going to be cold in January.
Not the whole globe. He's not talking about, oh, God.
Over a trillion dollars.
Sydney right now, it's probably 115 degrees Fahrenheit. But
yeah,
you know.
The Southern Hemisphere is going to face record heat right now, happening right now, because that's how the planet works. And they don't understand.
Every year is the hottest year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beating last year.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Global warming stuff and Green New Deal stuff and over a trillion dollars. I say it's a
hoax.
Over
a trillion dollars.
There is no immediate danger. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No. Jesus, Larry.
Easy, buddy.
Have another one, man. Holy shit.
Please disagree if you do, but I just think this is a hoax. Greenland is a strategic place up there.
About the same, isn't it?
They got a lot of valuable minerals. I don't want to predict an outcome. I'm just saying the president, who knows a thing or two about buying real estate, wants to take a look at low interest rates, no inflation, virtually no inflation, Chuck. So I actually.
It's sick that I know so much of that, by
one day when we have our physical show and we're in, I don't know, DC or LA or somewhere, we're going to have to bring him in. We're going to have to interview Larry Kudlow and then surprise him with a breathalyzer.
Surprise him with a question about Greenland is what we have to do.
Yeah.
Because what we have to do is
and we'll all recite it like it's a choral reading.
And then say it like, with him like we always do.
Right.
Say it over him as he's talking about how Greenland is a strategic, got a lot of valuable minerals.
Got a lot of valuable minerals.
Saying the climate crisis is a hoax because it's cold is like saying outer space is a hoax because the stars vanish during the day. It just shows a
it's
basic.
It's like saying that hamburgers are made of pork because the word ham is the first syllable.
That's
I mean, it's
right.
Like,
yeah.
It's just, I don't know if you guys saw someone was like showing how, what's his face? Oh, now I've just completely blown the joke. Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, they were like, this is like the level of intellect we're talking about here.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
He's like, I'm not going to eat hamburgers anymore because I'm giving up pork. And they'd be like, Joe, they're made of beef. He's like, no. The word ham is the first syllable. I'm not stupid.
Okay, so meantime, Nikki Haley says that we've never been a racist country. She keeps walking into this one. I guess because
okay,
it works.
So why don't we call you Nimrata then?
Well, that's just it. She talks about how she was a victim of racism, but the United States has never been a racist country. Let's listen to Nikki Haley talking about this right now.
Are you involved in a racist party?
No. We're
no!
She
almost did Clint Howard there.
She no, did. She
no
was
business. No bitches being out there. No!
No! No!
That's a different one. Let's try this again.
Are you involved in a racist party?
No.
No.
We're not
it's
a racist.
It's so fast. You know, it's like, I mean, it ejects from her mouth.
Oh my God.
Spring loaded, waiting for that question, you know.
So like, funny.
It's like, okay, way easy, Tiger, you know.
Are you involved in a racist party?
No.
No. No.
We're not a racist country, Brian. We've never been a racist country. Our goal is to make sure that today is better than yesterday. Are we perfect? No.
But no.
God, I can hear the wild look in her eyes. It's the worst part, you know. Like, she's totally getting that, like, Bobert look right
oh,
now.
Oh, Jesus.
You can see all the way around the colored part of her eye, which is always a danger sign.
Yeah.
Nature says, do not touch.
Like, well, it's great. We've never been a racist country. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, from 1776 through 1865, slavery was legal. From 1877 to 1964, segregation, Jim Crow, legal, lynchings were common. From 1960.
I mean, it's the answer to everything from, like, why is vanilla? Racism. I mean, it's just like everything in America. It's like, why do we tip at restaurant? Racism.
Yeah.
Because they didn't pay waiters.
Mm-hmm.
They get, you know, black men would come in off the street and run the tables.
Yeah.
For the cooks and the people who own the restaurant, and the tip was the only pay they got, and that was at the discretion of the customer. So it's basically slavery. And that's like north of the Mason-Dixon line, folks. It's New York City.
I mean, the great irony about this statement that, oh no, we've never been a racist country, is that Nikki Haley, in saying that, is directly courting the votes of racist white voters.
You know that she was the governor of the first state that seceded from the Union.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone thinks they've got a great sense of humor. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven, and nobody thinks they're a racist. Other people are racist, but they're not a racist. They're just a realist.
I mean, during our lifetimes, there was a chain of restaurants called Sambo's. I mean, that actually exists. Yeah. Well, we're not a racist country. That's absolutely absurd. And again, the fact is that even by saying that, she's emphasizing that we are a racist country because the entire Republican voting base is racist.
See, she's got that answer. Like, that's on an index card that she, like, tucked under her pillow before she fell asleep last night. And that's why there's a completely inhuman, like, non-pause when he asked her that question, because she's been waiting for that question. And it, like, leaps forth a little too quickly.
Yep.
You know.
Okay.
I can hear the wild, like I said, like, hear the wild look in her eyes. She's just a little too frantic to stomp on that. So.
Nikki, are you part of a racist country?
No!
No!
Nikki, is your party a racist party?
No!
No!
Nikki Haley, are you winning this primary campaign?
No!
No!
Nikki, are you going to be Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate?
No!
No!
Okay, let's take a break. I'm having too much silly fun. Back with more podcasting right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bob Seska plays more music.
I know you want me, baby.
I know you do.
I know you want me, baby.
I know you do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, has another spin for the great Freak Bass and his brand new single.
This makes me wish I could roller skate, you know?
It's such a great song. This is a song called I Know You Do. And we're playing this in honor of our friend Freak Bass, who today is going to be at the TikTok Live Fest Awards, where he has been nominated. And he's going to be hanging out at the TikTok headquarters. All happening today, yeah. So one of those instances where, holy shit, someone who has worked their ass off to produce great music, to get his name out there, is finally getting the recognition that he deserves. The great Freak Bass is finally taken off all over the TikTok. Because
TikTok. Can we talk about, just for like 30 seconds about something that makes me irrationally furious?
Okay, sure.
Do you know what water talk is, Bob?
No!
Okay, thank you.
Nikki Haley, do you know what water talk is?
No!
So the Stanley tumblers that everyone's crazy for, one of the reasons that they're crazy for them is because water TikTok, there's this whole thing of like people mixing different like drops and powders with water in their tumblers to make quote unquote alternative soft drinks that are supposedly better for you. But it's like, okay, it's not water now.
Yeah.
You know, when you add like 6 drops of Aussie lemon, like, you know, stuff with the chemicals in it that make it purple and the, you know, and the caffeine and the ginseng and the sucralose and the diet sweeteners. And it's just like, no, it's not. That's not water.
No. In fact, David, ask me if that's water.
Bob, is that water?
No!
Sorry. I feel like we need Nikki's no also, like just on a spring like that. Because really, it sounds like she sat on a tack.
No,
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 no, no.
Oh my God. Sorry. I have to apologize because I'm just going to derail the entire show by playing with that. Okay. Moving along here on our big Thursday show. So there's this outlier poll showing Nikki Haley tied with Donald Trump in New Hampshire. That's significant.
Yeah,
if it's true,
that's huge.
But you know, I think it's an outlier, to be honest with you.
Probably.
This is from the American Research Group, otherwise known as ARG.
So is there a Monty Python bit about Castle ARG?
That's right. Yeah. So Nikki Haley is tied with Donald Trump in New Hampshire, according to the ARG poll.
Castle ARG.
Yeah, they're both tied at 40%. Yeah.
Whenever I hear Nikki Haley, I always hear Nikki Onstein from Hello Dolly.
Oh, right. That's funny.
No!
meantime, DeSantis is tied at 4% with Ramaswamy, who's not even in the race anymore. Asa Hutchinson polled at 1%.
I forgot he was in the race.
Yeah. Asa Hutchinson is at the Connor Roy level of support.
God bless Connor. And congratulations to Kieran Culkin for his Emmy that was well deserved.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, Jesus, they all swept the acting awards for that show for Succession. And well deserved because the acting in that final season, the acting in the entire show was great. But that final season had some of the greatest performances I've ever seen on television.
Kieran Culkin at the funeral, just hands down, that's how he won
never
the Emmy.
Seen it. Is it that good?
It's really good.
It just seems to me like it was like, I just feel like I'm living this.
Yeah,
you know,
I
like
know. That was why I stopped. That's why I didn't watch it for many, many years and only caught up this past summer and fall.
So good.
Yeah.
So.
If you're a student of acting, you have to look at the scene or the sequence of scenes in that episode where, spoiler for Succession.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah, you haven't watched it yet, so I don't want to spoil it for you. But there's a scene. There's a scene when it's announced that someone has died and the main characters are all reacting to the death.
Right.
And the performances in that sequence were mind-blowingly real. There was nothing artificial in any way, shape, or form.
I agree.
So raw and real and honest and true. I was just blown away by that. So anyway, yeah. Praise for Succession. And Matthew McFadyen
won, one
of my favorite characters on Succession, Tom Wamsgans.
Opening episode of 6 Feet Under, I always thought was extraordinary.
By the way, you know what? I have a clip here of Alan Ruck as Connor Roy, the aforementioned Connor Roy, delivering his non-committal eulogy for this sexual predator who they worked with, who died on the show. And so this is
This is Connor Roy trying not to praise the person he's eulogizing, trying desperately to be completely middle ground with this guy's life.
Hello. I'm here as a fellow human to acknowledge that Lester has, as we know, passed on. Lester was a man. Also, Lester was an employee of the Waystar Company for 40 years. And when a man dies, it is sad. All of us will die one day. In this case, it is Lester who has done so. Lester was alive for 78 years, but no more.
Jesus.
Now he is dead.
I forgot this.
Lester's wife is Maria. They were married for 15 years. Now she is sad.
It's just like a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's nothing that's opinionated about any of that. Like, he was
a personal.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's like the priest that is at the funeral for the person that then the priest never, they went, didn't go to that church.
Mm-hmm.
So the priest just goes, what do you know about him? Okay, I'm writing that down. And may God rest his soul. Psalm 23, blah, blah, blah. Hi, his name was Peter. Anybody want to talk about Peter? I mean, it's that.
Thanks for indulging me about this.
I'm sorry. I love that show so much.
Me too.
I feel like one of these days we're going to accidentally do a show and never mention politics once.
It may be today's show, right? What do you think, Nikki Haley? Should we just ignore politics for the rest of the show?
No!
So this is...
I do want to say that, I mean, like, you know, surely someone on the, like, you know, crashed Soviet sub that is the Republican Party
mm-hmm.
has got to be seeing the writing on the wall and being like, Trump, you know, like, he is going to lose again.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the votes. He just doesn't. Like, well,
we
more than
about,
50%.
I talked about that with Rachel Bitticoffer yesterday, in fact. And this is a great segue back into politics, so thank you. We were talking about this very thing, and I said, has it occurred to them that they're in the process of nominating someone right now who may not be on all the ballots, who may get excluded from very important ballots at some point between now and Election Day? We're already starting to see that pattern occur. But I guess it doesn't occur to them. They don't care. They're just so tied to the cult. They
see,
don't
like
care
more
that
than 50%.
Like yeah.
51, 52% of people in the country hate him.
Right.
It's not like mild antipathy.
Right.
Like, we don't, I mean, we have a visceral, I mean, and there's not casual people out there that can be, he's not winning any new followers at this mm-hmm. point.
Yeah, I know.
There's no surprises when it comes to Donald Trump anymore.
Yeah,
no one's
yeah.
like, I mean, and I feel like he did skate in on like Russian interference and just pure novelty in 2016.
Well, yeah, and here's a couple of things that we should be aware of. And this is apart from the polls. You don't even have to look at the polls to get a sense of where we're going with this entire election season, who could end up on top. And that is the trend of not only Joe Biden's stellar fundraising so far, $117 million in quarter three, which yeah. is far and away like it's two-thirds greater than Donald Trump's haul for that same period of time. Plus, the Democrats have been winning all of these special elections.
Yeah, Florida just now.
Yeah, Florida. There was a state house election where it was a Republican lost the state. The seat was flipped for the Democrats.
Yep.
And that is happening every time we turn on the television or open the news, that Democrats are winning all of these crucial elections. Since 2018, the Democrats have been dominating every step of the way. Donald Trump has been losing every step of the way. That's what another thing gets lost in the mix with talking about Donald Trump is the fact that he's a loser. He's
right.
losing court cases. He's losing elections.
Yeah.
The party that he's tied to is losing big elections.
Mm-hmm.
The 2022 midterms, the 2020 election, the 2018 midterms. He didn't win a majority of the popular vote in 2016. Donald Trump is a gigantic loser. Lehu-zer. Mm-hmm. And that is something we need to talk about more often, I think.
But they're ready to nominate this guy again, despite his record of losing.
A four-syllable word, Lahoozer.
That was Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
That's the Jim Carrey thing.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So watch these special elections as they happen. If there are any further special elections between now and Election Day, that's important. The fundraising is important. I mean, $117 million. You can do a lot with that between now and November, especially as the economy continues to improve and as the Biden campaign will be making a case for its policies that contributed to the booming economy that we have right now. So that's all going to go on, and that case is going to be made. I don't think we should worry about whether or not the Democrats are going to put their best foot forward. I think that's absolutely going to happen. Rachel was also saying yesterday that the central focus of MAGA extremism is also an extraordinarily good idea for the Biden campaign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to the cable news people who are like, I don't know. Do people really want to hear about MAGA extremism? I mean, it's just some mean tweets, isn't it? No, don't pay any attention to that. This is what will have maximum impact for the Biden campaign. Focusing on the threat to democracy, all the stuff that we talk about here on this show. Okay, so meantime, I want to mention this here before we wrap up the show. Dennis Kucinich is attempting a comeback. I don't know if you're aware of this. He's going to try to run for Congress again.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. I met him. He was very nice.
Yeah, but he's going to run as an independent.
Very small.
He's very small.
That's right. He's
old enough to carbon date at this point, I think. I mean, he was already like... He was already kind of a fossil the first time around, and that was 30 years ago. But okay, Dennis,
Well, he worked for the RFK Jr. campaign for a period of time.
Right.
That makes sense.
He's either the campaign manager or the campaign chairman. I forget exactly what he was, but
he's just got that old gotta run for it myself fever. Gotta sell that spoiler juice.
Right. So he just filed FEC paperwork to run for Congress. Good luck, Dennis Kucinich. Meantime,
I thought he's running for president.
Oh, no. No, he's just running for Congress.
That's fine.
Yeah, but he's been out of the game for a long time. Meantime, Roger Stone is under investigation for threatening to assassinate Eric Swalwell.
Thank God.
Oh, God,
finally.
Please send that man to prison. I can't. Why is he out walking around? I don't get it.
I don't know. He's plotting to crawl into our house in the middle of the night.
With his fucking jacked up head. What is wrong with that man? He's another one that just like, how does he make clothes look so bad?
Yeah.
Just uncanny.
Well, here's the thing. I really believe that he was just talking. I don't think he had any specific intention to murder Eric Swalwell. I think this is just the cocaine talking. I have no direct evidence that Roger Stone uses cocaine other than observation of the obvious. Seems like he does. And if he does, this is probably what it is. I mean, the weird mouth twitches that he has.
Who is he in that deposition with? Larry somebody?
Yeah.
Well, also a nuisance, just a complete creep. But like he clearly wanted to bite the man.
Yeah.
It was so obvious. Like he's like a coke jaw.
Yeah. But. That's what I mean. Look at Roger Stone talk for any length of time. And he does this crazy thing where his lower jaw just juts out. Like he's like,
yeah, that's coke.
Yeah,
that's coke.
I think it is. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, when I met Mr. Kucinich, it was at a Larry Flint's office.
Oh, that's so cool.
And Lonnie and I have a picture. We have a picture of us with Mr. Flint. It was like we were going to meet Santa.
Yeah.
He was very nice, by the way. Mr. Flint was very, very nice.
Santa. Yeah.
Yeah, it was porn Santa. And that
porn Santa.
He's porn Santa. It was very nice, and it was a fundraiser for Mr. Kucinich, and Larry Flint hosted it, and it was literally going up to Santa to meet him because he, you know, can't walk, couldn't walk.
Yeah.
And so he was very nice, and it's so nice to meet you.
All right, Shadow Docket coming up next, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.